and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Because faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavens.
It's because of sin that the priests exist. If man is perfect, if you are perfect in yourself, you don't need me. There's nothing I'm doing here. If you are all right, you have been perfected, there's no need for a priest.
But when Jesus was retired from earthly ministry, he was reappointed into a heavenly one, which is the office, the ministry of the priest, because God knew that from the moment we give our life to Christ to the time we experience the rapture, it is this office that will guarantee it. So he now appointed men. You know, Paul the apostle is the one that broke the spiritual leadership into fivefold categories: apostle, prophet. That's the only man that ever did that in the Bible. What the Bible uses is kings and priests. That's what the Bible uses. Because in the priesthood, there are categories. There are levels of authority there. There is high priest, there are Levites. And then there is a nation of, or a company of priesthood, or what is called kingdom of priests. There are categories, there are levels. So even a priest needs a priest at different levels. So if I'm a priest, I need a high priest over me. And Jesus is the high priest for the whole church, the whole body of Christ. But we're all in different local assemblies. The book of Hebrews says, without contradiction, the less is blessed of the greater. So even Abraham, with all the many altars he set up, needed a Melchizedek in his life. So pastors that know how to set up altars. Moses, who built all the altars, needed a Jethro at some time to bring him out of a difficult situation. And Abraham gave him the tenth of all. Because you don't approach a priest empty-handed. I think I need to conclude with that. So, here are the 3 points. If you have heard brethren recognize that Simon is not about to go very fast, though, it's something they must learn to take care of. And that there are issues that keep coming up as we make this journey. God was aware of it. He desired redemption. There won't be any need for the blood, any need for the priesthood, any need for all that, if God didn't know that there will be challenges or mistakes. Get the brethren to understand the place of the priest. You know, the Catholic Church so understood that they actually demand, or they teach, that you go show yourself to the priest anytime you notice anything. If we teach the brethren that kind of thing, they will succeed faster. As long as the priests too are trained well enough to know their job. Anytime my business stop moving, go show yourself to the priest. Anytime some strange things show up, go show yourself to the priest. Because the equation can be balanced back in your favor. Anytime a battle is raging against you, go show yourself to the priest. That's what you are reading about David. Each time there is a war, he will say, call me Abiathar the priest. He will inquire from the Lord, get some direction, and then make sure that the right sacrifices are on the altar, and you cannot beat him in that battle. Who are you? How can you beat a man if God is committed? So the priest ensures God's commitment. That means victory cannot be lost. Saul waited for the priest to come, and there was a delay seven days. He presumed and took the sacrifice and slaughtered by himself. And that's where he got himself destroyed. There are people who spend their own title. Do you know? There are all kinds of arrogant things going on in the church today. At one time in the East, there were some businessmen who got up and started building churches inside their business premises or in their compound and employ a pastor. They wanted to make sure that they are not answerable to anything. That they are in control both of God and of everybody. In the town next to mine, in a neighboring village, a very wealthy gentleman, I think he was the wealthiest person in that village. If I call, I don't know who will, someone like Pastor Dubus will know the man I'm talking about. You know, and probably the wealthiest man from that place, he gave his life to Christ. Next thing, he presumes like Saul. He leaves his kingly office, dominion that he has been given in the marketplace, and decide to desecrate the priesthood. Took one small boy and employed, put up a few. Everything went down like this. And so that they don't have a teaching priest who can explain things to them. Nobody say hi. The girl is aging. Go show yourself to the priest. Despise your pastor. Play with him. Because all of you are all human beings. The reason God chose a human being like you to be a priest is so that that priest can understand what you are going through. So that your failures will not be strange to him. That's why Jesus Christ was tempted in every way as we were. Even though without sin, but he knew the propensity to sin. And then placed as a high priest so he can represent us. If not, when your priest gets angry with you, you are finished. Because there is no more reconciliation. Instead of doing reconciliation, he helps judgment. There is enough whatever calling for your head and your priest helps him. And I read how Saul had to go and evoke the spirit of Samuel when he had died. He should have made up that thing alive. He had all the time to correct that thing. He didn't. He thought it's something he can ignore. Ministry is a gift from heaven. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. And what are the gifts he gave to me? He gave to some apostles. So, ministry are God's gifts to human beings. So we can make it. And without them, our perfection will not come. Go show yourself to the priest. Verse 3 said, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And he said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest. Offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony. Don't go to priest empty-handed. When you go to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded. When it is sin that you have committed, the gift is called trespass offering. And the case is over. When it's a breakthrough that you have enjoyed, the gift is called peace offering. Peace offering. No. Peace offering is when you are seeking favor. When you are seeking deeper relationship with God. When you are seeking deeper commitment of God to your life. Peace offering is a relationship offering. It's used to activate deeper relationship with God. But when there is something in divine intervention, you bring a thanksgiving offering. It's called wave offering. Wave offering. Or there's some call it heave offering. In the Old Testament, when you have broken the laws of God, you bring a sin offering. Sin offering. Today, you cannot bring it. Because God said he was tired of it, that those sacrifices he would not accept. So he gave thee a body to be offered on the cross. And that is his son, Jesus Christ. So what you do is you bring repentance. And then the blood of Christ is brought to bear on the situation. What is available to us today is trespass offering. Sin offering is what Christ offered on the cross. There's nothing you can do that can beat that. If sin offering, because in sin offering, blood must be shed, is the blood actually that atones. If sin offering has not been taken care of by Christ, we will still be slaughtering bulls. Of course, this will have this altar. It won't be with rug. The way you construct it. Somebody ate his tithe for a period of time and things have been tight and he wants to be sorry. Tell him to bring a trespass offering. God asks for it. He even said it's a fifth. He will correct his way that way. That's how you judge yourself. Judging yourself simply means correct yourself. Don't leave God to do the judging. It will be hard. Thanksgiving offering. So when people say, God help my wife, he delivered a child successfully, we are coming for Thanksgiving. You don't come there empty-handed. One, the people, let them stop insulting God. God delivered me from accident, the car tumbled to a... You don't come near empty-handed. You don't come near. You don't do that. It's an insult. Read that your Bible again. Come, this is what the Lord has done for me. There is a testimony, there is a demonstration of what he has done through your mouth. Then you demonstrate it, that you are truly grateful. Let's see how accident can catch such a man. What it means that you have committed God to your protection everywhere you go. That's what you have done. That's what you have done. Luke chapter 17, verse 12. He entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. Now, this time around, they were very far off. He didn't touch them all. He just gave them that instruction. Go show yourself to the priest. The Bible said, and it was so that as they went, what happened? They were cleansed. As they went. I asked the Lord one time, why is it that you bracketed spiritual leadership into two groups? You have the priest and the prophet. He said the prophets are raised to remind the people to make alive again what the priests have been saying. QED. QEDO. When a prophet comes, what he does is that, you know, if you check the teachings of Jesus, he will say, it was said to you, thou shalt not kill. After people, because the priests are always with the people, they are pastors. People, after a while, don't have value for it anymore. That's what happens. I don't know if it happens to native doctors. They seem to respect those ones. Maybe because they don't really live with the people. Some of them stay inside the bush and create that thing that makes the people. But I have never seen ministry gifts that are disrespected like the pastoral ministry. Does that? That's why God raises prophets and apostles. Their job is this quickening. They are not the ministries that sustain. It's the pastoral ministry that sustain. Pastors are like mothers. If you notice, children have a tendency to respect their uncles more than they respect their own parents. Uncles might visit, take you out, tell you to come for holidays, buy you things, and all that. So it leaves that impression. You kind of get this thing that your uncle is nicer than your father and kinder than your father. The prophetic office does not nurture. They are not the ones that establish people. But the prophetic office is giving the power to quicken. If it is revival, if it is to make the word of God come afresh, if it is to quicken people to repentance, if it is to quicken them to prosperity, if it is to turn them back to God, if it is to move them into breakthroughs, if it is to point new boundaries and show them clearer vision. That's why in the ministry of God now broke that priestly ministry into five divisions to give specializations and left the pastor with the flock. When he start getting tired of him, he should send for an apostle or a prophet. You pastors, don't build your church alone or without your calling. It will not be enough. Don't. You should know when to bring a teacher to clean out the heads of your people that have grown cobwebs. You should know when to bring a prophet to quicken them and get them to see clearly again. You know when to bring an apostle, both to rebuke, to shake up the place and bring back order. Go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices commanded. Don't go to the priest empty-handed. If all the ministry gives start doing this, the church will explode. Touch them in the crusades, but send them back to the pastors. Touch them in seminars, but send them back to the pastors. Touch them on TV, but send them back to the pastors. You don't build a stable Christian life of following prophets or following apostles or evangelists. Hold conferences, shake them up, but send them back to the pastors. Let them stop despising their pastors. Let them go and honor their pastors and offer. And one of the things we also teach in field ministry, don't take the tithe. You also require their honor that you can get, because they're supposed to bless the ministry that bless them. But let them take the commanded sacrifices to the temple. Did you see how Jesus did his public ministry? That's how anybody who is in the public ministry should function. He was talking to the people, he said, you pay tithe of cumin, of all the different things. You leave the weightier matters of the law undone. He said, take care of those weightier matters like justice, like mercy, like other. But don't leave the tithe unpaid. Go back and pay it. He said, if you bring your gift to the altar, and remember that you have a quarrel with your wife or your somebody, you know, go settle the quarrel, because it will block God from blessing. But Don't leave the gift on offer. Come back and offer it. Of course, he actually said to leave the gift on the altar. He didn't say collect it back. Let me give you an example. He commented on those ministries that stay in the altar. He said, some of them teach you things that they are not doing. He said, the advice is, don't follow the wrong examples, but do what they have taught. Because they are representing Moses. They are representing who? Moses. That's what Jesus said. Today in the church, they are not representing Moses. They are representing Christ. Don't go and disobey. Don't go and dishonor spiritual authority. Because they are representing Christ. It's not the priest you are disobeying. It's Moses in the Old Testament. Today is not the priest you are disobeying. It's Christ. He's going to harm you. But being in the right office with the right relevant authority to confront that, he confronted them. There were places he said words to them. He wouldn't teach the people to do that. It would destroy them. Because if a priest has a problem, it's the job of the high priest to correct it. When Eli did not do that, God judged him and judged the sons. There are other spiritual authorities that can correct that thing. Jesus didn't say, withdraw your tithe from such temples, from such synagogues. Bring it to me. He never said that. God is not man that ordained. That's why, while he was in the field ministry, he never collected anybody's tithe. He sent, go to the temple and pay that one. But he collected support, offerings, and all the things with which he funded what he was doing. Go show yourself to the priest. Offer the sacrifices that were commanded. So, in this chapter 17, the complaint was, were there not 10 healed? When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. It was so that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. That's after going to the temple, he came back with a loud voice, glorify God, and fell down on his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. I've realized that commitment to one's church is a very important thing. But if you are to go to a crusade and came out of your wheelchair in Bonke's crusade, you should also find financial whatever and support that ministry. It's right. If you are to go to whatever and get whatever, you should also find some financial offering and give. You don't just say thank you with mouth. That's one way. You don't just do that. You should also support it. That's how God ordained for ministries to work. You don't sit under any ministry and benefit from that ministry without giving back. It will bring a curse on your life. It will destroy you. He says to that man, your faith has made you whole. In summary, I want to point out this. You can see this is the third. Get me a mic. What did you learn from the two things that we said? I want to get feedback. This is October. November is following. December. Fill the brethren with thanksgiving. It's time to return. It's time to return. So many things. If they look into there, so many things to return and give God thanks. And they will see how they will be made whole. Remember, there was healing before thanksgiving, but there was wholeness after thanksgiving. If I ask you now, which one was more? Look at it. Thanksgiving is in the middle. Go show yourself to the priest. Then we have after it. After tea. Then before tea. Then tea is in the middle. Before tea, there was healing. That's before Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, there was wholeness. If I ask you, healing and wholeness, which one is greater? An elderly man who contributed in my training told me, he said, when there are some things you do when you're under mentorship, your leader will send you with one eye blind and one eye. He will train you, all right, and send you out, commission you with one eye. He said there are many ministers who have lived and died and gone to their grave, and they ministered as a one-eye leader. They are not totally a blind leader, because they learned some things, but they left as a one-eye leader. And when they talk, you see that they are trying to say something, but what they are saying is not clear. There's something wrong. They didn't get it clearly. The thing didn't form well. But they have gone. Because they don't have patience to serve. So I now asked him, I said, how do I know? How can you explain this? He said, Elijah gave Elisha a mantle when he came to follow him. But he gave him another mantle when he has finished his service, his training. He said the first mantle and the second mantle are not the same. He said every son of the prophet gets the first mantle. What differentiates prophets is the second mantle. So you see healing, you see wholeness. What do you think? I want to hear. What do you think? Which one is better? Which one is... What do you think? Okay, what do you think? Come on, let's hear from him.
Thank you, sir. Years ago, there was a tape you made. A man was crippled. One of his legs was shot. And he attended a crusade, one of our crusades, and in the meeting, the lead grew back normal. One day, he was walking on the street, and something was telling him, it was after healing crusades. So healing schools are usually organized, but he never attended. So he was walking on the road. One day, the leg, something was kept talking to him that this thing is not true. So that he just noticed that the thing is growing back again. Then he fell down. But that was a quickening that came on him. It dawned on him that this thing could be true. He said, something just told him to scream back to the leg. He said, in the name of Jesus, grew back, and the leg came back again. And he explains to me something that somebody can get healing, but wholeness is what guarantees that that thing is stable. He cannot, he has mastered that. He is no more on the healing line. He has crossed the healing line. He is now a healer. The person has, that is not an issue. Again, there are some things in your life that they are no more an issue. In that particular circumstance, the person is made whole in that area.
I remember the story he's talking about. I first read that story, you know, I think it was the U.S., somebody who had an experience like that, and I started sharing that experience, a Kenneth Hagin experience. And it started happening in our ministry. It has happened about 3 different times. This leg growing thing. And challenge of losing healing and the healing, you know. It's true. It's true. There are people who get things. It doesn't stay. They keep losing it. It's not only with healing, it's with sin, it's with forgiveness, it's with many things, with finances. But there are people who are whole. It's not only that God has brought them out of something, they have entered a realm where that thing is no more an issue. They are in charge of it now. It's been permanently dealt with. That's a powerful illustration. Yes, what do you think?
As he was talking, I remembered something that happened with me. I know wholeness is about not just receiving, but taking action, doing something on your own. Not just receiving something, but responding to what was given to you. I remember some weeks ago, I kind of broke down health-wise. But I prayed about it. I took medications the first time. The thing returned again. And I was now musing on health because I've received divine healing, divine health, actually, the revelation of divine. I used to be very sickly. But when I came into this ministry, I learned something and I received it. So that thing was as if it was coming again, you know, these recurrent illnesses. So I remembered something you said about the blood covenant and communion. And I know I had to tell myself, you have to take an action. You can't keep on submitting to this thing. You have to take action. So that particular morning, it was actually a battle. There was a Sunday we took communion in church. I got healed in that service. That the fever left me in that service. It was very evident. Went back to the house, fever came again. So I just knew that this thing, I had to stand and win this battle. So I took some communion back home. I sat down with it. I started reading healing scriptures again, because these are things I've done before, but I just got used to it. So I left. So I started reading these healing scriptures, and I took the communion. And what ministered to me was, the same way you took medication, just start taking communion morning and night. So I was now doing it morning and night. I'll take communion in the morning, take communion in the night. This is what I continued doing until everything left. So later on, Karachi called me one time, said she was ill. I took the same principle. I went to her house. I sat down with her. I told her, this is what I did. And I want to teach you what God has taught me. And we read the healing scriptures together. We did that same process. And by the next morning, she was whole. So I realized that it's not just being healed, but actually understanding, getting the revelation behind it, being able to do something, practice it practically, taking responsibility to do something about the revelation you got.
The simple secret is because even though she has told the story, if we don't get the principle, we might miss it. What is the principle in this whole thing now? Healing can come from contact, one contact with the source. Wholeness comes by reestablishing relationship. That's what. If we who were wild olive trees were broken off from our parent trees and engrafted in the vine, and then of course he changed our test, changed everything. There are people who see interaction with God as a one-time interaction, a kind of encounter, a contacting. That's what happens in crusades and many of these kind of meetings. But each time somebody builds a relationship with the source, it reestablishes a relationship. And when you reestablish a relationship, there will become a system of exchange, because you probably give thanksgiving, you get, in the case of the word, she just made establish a relationship with that truth and got it, and he set her free. If you disconnect that relationship tomorrow, you go back home. Disconnect it. It's over a period of time, because you might not go back instantly until the little sap in you withers away. You go back. That's the way it works with everything. Every revelation we carry has a source. The anointing we carry has a source. The ministries we carry have a source. The blessing we carry has a source. relationship with that source retains it. I don't like one-time thing, fruit. I like trees. So that you can end your frustration. Okay, yes. There are still other dimensions to this wholeness and, you know, yes.
I believe the difference between healing, being healed, and being whole is that you can actually get healed of something. Like the woman with the issue of blood, and immediately the blood, she stopped bleeding. But wholeness means everything you've lost in the process of the sickness, you know, the shame, the everything. You get back everything you lost. So it's like you were sick, but now you've received your healing. It's not as if you've lost everything. Everything you seem to have lost in the process of that thing you've been through comes back to you. You now become whole. Like the leper that went to Jesus Christ, his feet, maybe because of leprosy, you lost your arm, you lost your destiny, and immediately Jesus laid his hands on him and said, receive your healing. The leprosy has stopped. But now, everything begins to grow back into fullness, that someone sees you and does not recognize that there was ever a time you were once a leper and you become whole.
This perspective is very important, very, very important. This perspective. All the perspectives are important, but this perspective is also very important. You notice that the things that happen to us also leaves damages in other areas. You know that a sickness can cause a person to lose a relationship, become poor, lose finances, lose a job. You know, there are many things that can go wrong. Many other things that can go wrong because of that one event. So a person gets healed, that's all right. But another man extends that healing to all the other areas and experiences a complete recovery. That's a very important perspective. Very important. The other dimensions to this wholeness, who can give another dimension to it? You've been raising your hand. Let's see.
Amen. So I want to thank you for taking your time to impact us with this. I want to look at this from the area of rejection, whereby the lepers, they worship from afar off, they approach him from afar off. They have their own colony. They are not allowed to come close. They are being kept from afar and all stuff. But after the guy got healed and he came back and Jesus pronounced wholeness on him, that issue of rejection was removed and he now is allowed to reintegrate himself with all he has lost over the years, with the members of the community and the family and all that. So let's say that healing is an integral part of wholeness.
It's that just wholeness, a part of wholeness.
Contains healing inside.
Wholeness contains healing. Thank you for that. That's I just want to use a word. How do I brand this? That's a master touch to the event. That's a master. Healing is a part of wholeness. Wholeness contains healing and more. It's a powerful, it's just powerful. That's powerful. It's one way you can keep it in your mind. Healing is just a part, just an integral part of wholeness. So if you are made whole, you have been healed as well as restored and all of that. Wholeness will include forgiveness, internal healing, inner healing, external healing, restoration, all of those wonderful things is all part of it. Okay, you want to add a dimension to it?
Yes, I was looking at it from the perspective of somebody is hungry. He comes and you give him food. You give him healing. And then you take him aside and teach him how to cater for himself. You give him wholeness.
It's true.
So healing is the starting point to wholeness. Mm. It's like what the evangelist would do. He would bring people to Christ and then send them to the church, send them to a pastor where they are made whole. Mm. So healing is a contact, but wholeness is something people have to be taught into. Mm. It's something that they begin to imbibe, something that becomes a part of them so that they can perpetuate the things they have received.
Healing. Is a good example is that salvation thing. Salvation, you give your life to Christ. A baby Christian. So it's like healing is like being born. Wholeness is like being made a man, that kind of thing. You know? And obviously, some aspect of wholeness is a process. It's true. It's true. That's why it takes a relationship with the source to healing is the beginning, just the starting point of wholeness. Powerful. That's a mastery touch. I want to change the direction. Unless you want to say something different, I want to change the direction because my question extends to the other two areas. Yes, okay.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, there was a time Jesus touched a man who was blind, and he said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And when he got to the pool and washed, he was made whole. Now, healing is first contact with the power of God. But wholeness comes when you develop a relationship with the Word of God. So happens now is that relationship that he developed with the Word by the washing of the water now brought wholeness into the man's life. And sir, you said something, that whatever the power of God gives you, it takes the Word of God to keep it.
To sustain it, yes. Wholeness comes through teaching. Healing comes through the anointing. That's a very important area to differentiate it. Healing could be in an area, but wholeness is more than physical. Wholeness goes beyond the physical, the surface. It gets internally and takes care of many other things. You know, if you remember when we talked about the deliverance phase of ministry, healing is in it. Deliverance, all of them are in it. But when you look at the discipleship phase or the development phase, that's where wholeness takes place. That's where wholeness takes place. The power of God can bring healing. A touch, a man was healed. A word, a man was made whole. It's a very important dimension too. You make people whole by what you say to them. Because people are also damaged by words. Yes, you want to give another dimension? Okay.
I want to...
Pastor, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pastor, in this meeting today, I only heard one thing. And I heard one thing. I don't know how people hear, but I hear God, and God talks to me. I hear. Pastor, I believe the church in Lagos, we've been in the season of healing. The church is about stepping into a state of wholeness. And I know we're going to step into between now and you know, December concludes. And there's one thing God is talking to us, which I hear. And I trust God we're going to implement it. God is saying, go show yourself to the priest. And God is talking to all the churches. And we will hear. And we'll go and show ourselves to the priest. Pastor, one thing about this kind of message, when we hear it, you know, it has a way of exciting with the pastors. You know, in a way, we want to preach it. It's a good message for a pastor to preach to his congregation. But somehow we've watched you, you know, transit into the prophetic office. In quote, prophetic office. But here you are giving us the priestly work. But for the churches in Lagos, you know, we are acting like the priest over the whole church. You know, why you? And I believe God is talking to us right now. It is a season to go show ourselves to the priest. And that is what God is saying.
And when you tell pastors, people, go show yourself to the priest, tell them to offer the commanded sacrifices.
Thank you, sir.
Some people know how to go with empty hands. It's plenty in the body of Christ. Okay, I can point you to one more element. Okay, you want to say
something? I wanted to... there was a scripture I saw that when Jesus sent the disciples,
He said, go heal the sick, cleanse us. Matthew 10. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. He said, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor stripe for your journey, nor neither two coats, neither shoes nor staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And I said, and into whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you say unto an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. So something struck me. That means he gave them that power, gave them everything. But it is thanksgiving that connects that thing and keeps it in that house. That means if they finish releasing everything they've done and they turn to go and there is nobody worthy, it goes back with them. So, you know, I just wanted to, as in what Pastor was saying here, to also drop that point that it does not remain until there's somebody worthy to take it.
It does not remain. That's a powerful word. It does not remain until there is somebody worthy.
Sir,
yes.
Sir, thank you for it's an eye-opening service today. But the issue of when you were talking about wholeness, Jesus was making a statement. He said, when an evil spirit is sent out from a man, Bible said, he goes, but after some time, he comes back.
That's a powerful illustration. Take note of that one. Mm.
You know, after a period of time, he comes back. But it's just like when you deliver somebody from evil spirit. The person is not whole yet until the day the devil will come back.
To check.
Because if you notice in the story of Jesus Christ, Bible says the devil came to the wilderness to check him out. And when he came, what Jesus defeated the devil with is written. And Bible said that Jesus, the devil left Jesus for a while. Because he will definitely come back.
He will come back.
After the deliverance, the person needs to sit down.
That's a powerful
and,
word.
Because Bible said he shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Mm. So that freedom is wholeness.
Freedom is wholeness. And freedom comes when the truth is known. Deliverance is not wholeness. It's temporal freedom. So you know whether a man is whole the day Satan revisits. These are publishable. These things will set a generation free. Satan will come back. He will come back. It's that day he comes back. You know if you're whole. That's serious. That's a powerful one. Oh God, that's a master touch. That's a master touch. Yes. Mm.
Thank you very much, sir. I just want to.
Whenever you say go show yourself to the priest, offer for thanksgiving. There are two groups of people. You immediately divide the church into two. The people who feel that their leprosy has been cleansed feel that this message is for me. I'm going to obey it. Then the ones who feel that their leprosy has not been cleansed feel that, no, when God cleanses me, I'll go. But here is what you will answer them. As they went, they were cleansed. What? As they went, as they took thanksgiving to go. What happened? So QED, you don't wait till everything is fine before you offer. Is as they went. QED. That's the point. That's the point. That point you made is very important. You don't wait till everything. You don't praise God because it's just good time and all that. Mm-mm. We praise God both in the good times and in what? In the bad times. Praise has control of the weather. If the weather is bad and I praise Him, He calms the weather down. If the weather is good and I praise Him, He keeps the weather good. QED. QED. A lot of people will praise themselves into hot marriages. A lot of people will praise themselves into major breakthroughs. If they understand this thing. If they understand it. God is glorious in holiness, but only what? Fearful. He's already holy and he's glorious. You know, if a king is exalted and he has the honor, there's nothing you can do to remove it. But if you want God to manifest, he's in praises. The supernatural is known during the time of praises. That's where it's known. Deliverance is known during that time and all of that. Amen.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.